Shalom and welcome to Tehillim Yomi. Today we learn Psalm Mem Bet, that's Psalm 42, when we start the second book of Tehillim. 11 psalms were penned by the sons of Korach. They have the names B'nai Korach in the title. Why the sons of Korach? Rashi offers a famous midrash to explain the origin of these writers of the psalms. He states that these sons, Asir, Elkanah, and Abiasaph, who appear in the Torah, who are the sons of Korach, were originally aligned with their father and rebelled against Moshe. But at some point, they decided that if their father was wrong and they left their father's side. Now, when they got punished, when Korach got punished and the ground swallowed up, Korach and his cohorts were all killed. But these sons, their lives were spared, as it says, "Uvnei Korach lo metu." According to the Midrash, they sang a song of praise to God at that moment. And after doing so, they continued singing to God, and the Spirit of God, the Ruach HaKodesh, descended upon them. And they began to prophesy about the future of Israel. This would mean that the sons of Korach, at the time of Israel in the desert, contributed to the Psalter, to Tehillim. Radak rejects this position and suggests these are David's authorship, just writing in the name of the sons of Korach. Ibn Ezra quotes Rabbi Moshe ibn Jekatilia, who suggests that the psalm was written in Babylonian during the exile. And so we now have an 800 years time span to which these psalms might have been written. Choose for yourself. The psalm is a departure from the Davidic ones, and that is reflected in the poetic style as well as the content. It is the first time where a refrain is used throughout the poem. And the tone is very personal and philosophical, using quite flowery language and imagery. There are three sections of the psalm, the first one describing the great desire his soul thirsts for God. These have become quite common songs in Jewish circles. L'menatzech maskil ibnei Korach, ke'ayal ta'arog alafi ke'mayim, ke'navshi ta'arog elecha Elohim. As the deer longs for water streams, so does my soul long for you, O God. Tamanafshi l'Elohim le'elchai matay avo ve'ra'e pnei Elohim. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? The first two verses speak of the poet's great yearning for God. First, a simile, saying his soul yearns for God the way a deer yearns for water. And second, he states emphatically that his soul thirsts for God, wondering when he will come to be seen before God. Amos Chacham notes that the phrase, E'ra'e p'nei Elohim, which means to be seen the face of God, might refer to the mitzvah of going up to the temple to be seen, because in Devarim 31, it uses the same formulation in describing the mitzvah, le'ra'ot p'nei Elohim. If so, this yearning described refers to a person somewhere, perhaps in Israel, who desires to return to the temple to be seen as in days of yours. Verse 4 says, Haitali dimati lechem yomam v'layla be'emor elai kol hayom aye Elohecha. Unfortunately, it shifts the tenor of the psalm. It turns darker. The psalmist speaks of his sorry state, where all he has done is cry bitter tears, while detractors say to him mockingly, where is your God? Verse 5 says, Eile ezkera v'eshpecha alai nafshi, ki e'evor basach adadem or edadem adbeit Elohim b'kol rina v'todah hamon chogeg. Very complicated pasuk. We encounter many verses that are just confusing, and there's major debates about what their meaning is. According to Hirsch, the verse depicts his resilience in managing to conjure up great memories, when he was indeed able to then rejoice in thanksgiving, when he did go up to the house of God. These memories now, though, give him much pain when he realizes the low level to which he has fallen. The phrase ki evor basach is unclear. Chacham suggests it refers to the word sukkah, sach sukkah, covered wagons they used on the way to the temple. Alternately, sach means an amount, referring to the amount of people who would go to the temple on festivals. Another complicated word is the word edadem. Perhaps the root word is dada, meaning to move, like slowly move, like a mother carries her children. Alternatively, the root word is nadad, to wander. A third interpretation is offered by Ibn Ezra to take out the word that one dalid, and it's not edadem, but it's edem, which would mean silenced. Clearly, though, the destination was Beit Elohim, meaning the temple. Then comes verse 6, which stands alone as a refrain, and it comes to teach us that the psalmist is in a state of struggle as he's remembering fond memories. He turns to himself and asks himself to try to snap out of it. He says, Matish tochachi nafshi v'temi alav, hochili l'Elohim ki ododenu yishuot panav. Why are you cast down, my soul? Why are you so cowering and struggling? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help in his countenance. This stands alone as a refrain, which appears once again at the end of the psalm, word for word, as well as the end of Psalm 54, which Chacham sees as one long psalm, which we'll discuss. According to Chacham, the psalmist is talking to himself, encouraging himself not to let this depressive state continue, but to call out in hope to God for salvation. Matishtochachi nafshi, he is saying to his soul, don't cower, don't submit to your feelings of sadness and loss. Instead, call out to God, hope for him. Let that lift up your spirits. The next section, the psalmist calls out to God in prayer in distress in verses 7 to 11. He says, Elohai, alai nafshi tishtochach, al kenez karcham eretz yaden v'chormonim mehar mitzar. My God, my soul is cast down within me because I remember you from the land of Jordan. The same person who attempted to control his emotion and convince his soul not to cower in verse 6 does exactly that in the beginning of the next section. Turning to God, he can't help himself from falling down in spirit. He can't help but remember the good times that caused him to cringe. He then gives a geographical context of where he might be writing this psalm. Perhaps he is in the land of the Jordan River, the Hermon, Mount Mitzar, all located in the northern section of Israel. But a different perspective is that he's far away from Israel and somewhere in exile, and he recalls the land of Jordan, meaning the land of Israel, and speaks of the great locales of the land. He continues in verse 8, Tahom el Tahom kore lekol tzinerecha kol mishbarecha begalecha alay avaru, and verse 9, Yomam yitzaveh Adonai chasto uvalayla shiro imi tfilah le'el chayai. By day the Lord will command his loving kindness, and at night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Vacillating between sad memories and happy ones, in verse 9, the psalm speaks of the times when he was able to go up to the mountain of God, singing his songs, praying to his creator. An alternative reading is that these are his wishes, and he is dreaming this from his exile state, hoping one day to return. The last two verses, Amra le'el salit, Lama shachachtani, Lama koder elecha balachat oyev, Beretzach ve'otzmotai, ba'otzmotai cherfuni tzorai ba'omram elai kol hayom ayei Elohecha. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? Like a deadly wound or a murder of my bones, my enemies taunt me. While they say daily to me, where's your God? At the end of this section, he clearly sinks deeper into an abyss, asking God why he's been forsaken, why the enemy oppresses him, employing the most deadly of terms, beretzach, in murder, or perhaps wounding of his bones. His enemies mock him and continuously make him question his faith. Then the refrain appears again, as if to constantly remind himself not to give up, despite his sad affair. Matish tochachi nafshi umateh mi alai, hochichi l'Elohim ki ododenu nishuot panai ve'elohai. Why are you cast down on my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. With this refrain, the psalm concludes. But in the truth, it really continues on to Psalm 43, which clearly is just another stanza in this longer poem. Nevertheless, we will wrap up this psalm here and give a larger conclusion at the end of tomorrow's psalm.